15 years ago, on April the 19th, 2005, Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger was elected as Pope Benedict XVI, the successor of Pope St. John Paul II. I remember watching the news, and the white smoke had come out of the chimney of the Sistine Chapel. The crowd was anticipating the new pope presenting himself. So first the cardinals come out on the big balcony that overlooks St. Peter's Square. And then eventually Pope Benedict came out to give his first blessing. On that balcony was Cardinal Francis George of Chicago, now deceased. And Cardinal George looked very pensive, very deep in thought. Later on, someone asked him, "Your Eminence, what were you thinking about?" And he said, "I was looking out from the balcony, and I could see the Colosseum and the Circus Maximus, and I thought, how many Christians were martyred there during the time of the persecution of the Roman Empire? And then I thought to myself, where's that empire now? It's all ruins. But the church is still here. The church goes on." Keep in mind, too, that this past May, we celebrated the surrender of Nazi Germany, VE Day, 75 years ago. Here, Hitler proclaimed a Third Reich, a Reich that would last 1,000 years. He persecuted the church tremendously. His goal was to eradicate the church. And where is it now? It's gone. But where is the church? It's still here. My brothers and sisters, this is important for us to understand what we celebrate today, this Feast of Pentecost. 50 days after Easter, our Lord poured forth, the Father and the Son poured forth the Holy Spirit upon his apostles. At the Ascension that we celebrated last Sunday, really should be 10 days earlier, Jesus had told the apostles, "You go out, preach the gospel, make disciples, baptize in the name of the Trinity, and teach everything that I have commanded you." Then he ascended. They were frightened. They're behind locked doors. Then suddenly, just as our Lord had promised, the Holy Spirit descends. As we hear in Acts the Apostles, there's this driving wind that enters the room. It's like this great respiration of Father and Son, of the Holy Spirit upon those apostles. Tongues of fire came down upon them, just like a fire was now ablaze in their hearts. They were filled with what we know as the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit: fear of the Lord, piety, knowledge, understanding, counsel, wisdom, and fortitude. Immediately, we see the effects of this gift of the Holy Spirit. The apostles unlock the doors. They go out. They're able to proclaim the gospel message in foreign tongues that people can understand. They proclaim that Jesus is truly Son of God, Lord and Savior. They go to eventually the temple precincts and confront the Sanhedrin that had persecuted our Lord just 50 days earlier. And people started to believe. Keep in mind, at Pentecost in Jerusalem, it was packed with people, because for the Jewish people, this was a day to remember how Moses had received the law on Mount Sinai, and the new covenant was made. Here then we see the birth of the church. What does Acts tell us? 3,000 were baptized on that day of Pentecost. And from there, the church continued to go on. Eventually those apostles went out to this Roman Empire. So we know, for instance, that St. James the Greater went as far as Spain, St. Thomas as far as India, St. Peter to Rome, where he will be martyred. All of those apostles, except St. John, who survived the means of execution, were martyred, but they had no fear. Ask yourself then, if Jesus hadn't suffered, died, and risen from the dead, would they have done that? Certainly not. If they hadn't received the power of the Holy Spirit, Would they be able to convert a Roman Empire? I doubt it. And so we see the work of the Holy Spirit in our church. Even though over all these centuries we've had times of persecution, heresy, schism, scandal, our personal sinfulness, epidemics, whatever it is, the church continues on because Christ is with his church through the great power of the Holy Spirit. So who is this mysterious Holy Spirit? We profess in the Creed that the Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, and who has spoken through the prophets. At this Last Supper, Jesus had told his apostles that he would ask the Father, and together they would send forth the Holy Spirit. Our Lord used three special titles for the Holy Spirit. The first, the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit would guide, so the prophets, to preach the Word of God, and then also to commit that Word to writing in those books we call our Old Testament. The Holy Spirit would empower the apostles and others to go forth to preach the gospel message and write those books we know as our New Testament. The Holy Spirit would inspire the church to put those together and say, these 73 books, these are our books of sacred scripture, God's truth, God's revelation. This is why the Second Vatican Council taught that that which is asserted by the human author must be said to have been asserted by the Holy Spirit, so that the words of Scripture teach firmly, faithfully, and without error that truth God wanted us to have for our salvation. But it doesn't stop there, because we know life changes. We face different moral issues all the time. So the church teaches. The Holy Spirit guides the church not only to preserve and teach the revelation, but also to understand and to apply it to every day and age. Our church teaches truth. So when we think of some just basic, simple truths like the dignity of the human person, the sanctity of life from conception to natural death, marriage between a man and a woman as husband and wife, the sacredness of the family, all those simple truths that are certainly found in the books of sacred scripture, we apply to today's moral issues. So we call this handing on of the truth, the faith, sacred tradition, capital T, meaning the traditio, the handing on. So for instance, we have our creed that we profess at this Mass. The Apostles' Creed was the basic creed, but in 325, to address a heresy, the Church gathered and proclaimed as dogma our creed that we have. Or we think of our catechism. We look at the catechism and we see a beautiful systematic presentation of our faith, going back from the Old Testament times all the way to today. So my brothers and sisters, how blessed we are to have the Spirit of Truth to guide us. Now, without the Holy Spirit, the Bible would just be nice prose. And the Catechism would just be like some kind of a political manifesto to be changed at whim by some kind of vote. But because we have the Holy Spirit, the Bible is the living Word of God. And the teachings of our church in the Catechism help present us that truth that leads us on the path to everlasting life. Our Lord also called the Holy Spirit the Sanctifier. So the Holy Spirit communicates to us the love and the life of the Holy Trinity, what we could call the sanctifying grace. We find this especially given to us through our sacraments. So in baptism, original sin is washed away and we are recreated as a child of God, made a member of the church, known as a Christian. Through confirmation, we receive the fullness of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Through Holy Communion, we share in the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. Through penance, just as we heard in our gospel today, our Lord continues to forgive our sins through the ministry of the church. Through marriage, the Lord gives the grace needed for husband and wife to live their vows. Through holy orders, the Holy Spirit will convey that beautiful priesthood and also the diaconate upon men who are going to be appointed to those holy offices. Through the Holy Spirit, we also have the anointing of the sick to help bring healing, comfort, and strength to people who are facing serious illness, surgeries, and even preparing to pass from this life. Consider, without the Holy Spirit, all those things would just be nice rituals, just part of a cultural tradition. Because of the Holy Spirit, there's sacraments, efficacious signs that communicate, that give us the sanctifying grace, the graces that we need to live our life. And then finally, the Holy Spirit's called the Advocate, so the one who really makes Christ known. We're called to be filled with the Holy Spirit and be advocates of Christ. St. Paul, in our beautiful second passage, describes the church like as a body. Christ is the head, the church members are the body. Each of us has a different role, a different function, just like our bodily organs have a different function, but we need everybody to make the body work, whether church or whether our own human body. As such, then, it's the Holy Spirit that enlivens this, brings it together. Isn't it the Holy Spirit that really gave those saints the courage, the fortitude to do what they did in this life? All of us can be saints if we really rely on the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean we won't sin, but it means we're striving to be holy. Now consider this. If we didn't have the Holy Spirit, all the good works that our church does would simply be nothing but more than social work than a government agency can perform. But instead, because of the Holy Spirit, we can bring Christ to others, and through us, our Lord shares His love with others, whether in our words or through our works. I think of a beautiful story that Mother Teresa told about a Hindu man she found who was dying in one of the gutters of Calcutta. He even had maggots in his wounds. She and her sisters brought the man to their home for the dying, and they cleaned all of his wounds, bathed him, put him in a clean bed. And yes, he was dying. But the Hindu man said, "I was garbage, but now I'm going to die like an angel. You have shown me Jesus, and I want to believe in Him too." He was baptized. So my brothers and sisters, on this feast day of Pentecost, let us truly invoke the Holy Spirit. We've been in this whole COVID thing behind locked doors. The doors are now starting to open. We're talking about this new normal, whatever that is. But ask yourself, what's your new normal going to be? Is it going to be a normal that is really empowered by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the sanctifier, the advocate? So we pray, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. May God bless you.